What do you see as the main priority in this meeting? What are you going to try to get done?
I think our main focus and our main priorities are always making sure that the students stay first in any discussion we have about education reform, about school safety and gun violence prevention. You know, we'll be talking about, obviously, college affordability and concern about interest rate hikes for college students, mental health awareness. You know, and obviously, as always, you know, the budget, both the federal budget and our state budgets, and the lack of support we're getting for an investment in our students.
Who is giving you this lack of support, or is it coming from everywhere?
I mean, it's coming from everywhere. You know, we look at the federal government on the national level, and we look at, you know, the effects of sequestration. You know, and people, I think the normal citizen just looks at it and goes, well, they were all hyping about it, but, you know, for me, I don't notice any difference. But what we're starting, you know, to see in education is, you know, more pressure on limited resources, lack of funding, an increased lack of funding for special ed, for Head Start programs, for all of our neediest students. Really watching that impact and watching the availability of those programs for those students decrease. And, you know, and then that trickles down into the state's lack of funding and what it's doing to raising class sizes, you know, lack of infrastructure repairs and support in our buildings. We're finding that our teachers are having a lot of problems this spring with the SOL testing, where a significant number of school systems, their buildings don't have the bandwidth to support all the kids, you know, on SOL testing. And it's like, oh, well, we, you know, SOL testing was, you know, started an hour late today because all the computers crashed. And it's, you know, and that's not a good testing environment for students. And, you know, and the continued focus on standardized testing is kind of being the only way to measure someone is to give them a multiple choice test.
With a lot of cutbacks in localities, of course, you know, teachers are being cut. Are teachers leaving the profession at all, or are you seeing more people come in?
I don't think that we're necessarily seeing more people come in. We're definitely experiencing what we refer to kind of as the retirement bubble. A number of teachers who've been eligible for retirement but who don't want to retire are now choosing to retire because it's just not the profession that they used to work in because of all the emphasis on testing and, you know, talking about students aren't students anymore. It's almost like they're nothing but data generators, and teachers are not teachers, they're becoming data analysts. And not that data isn't important, but there's a whole heck of a lot more to educating a child than analyzing test scores.
With seasoned professionals leaving the profession, what does that do to an organization like the VEA or the NEA, which, you know, back in my day, I have a music education degree, you know, and that was the thing to join because that was your union, that was your voice, that was the way to get the word out that you were a teacher.
Yeah, well, obviously, you know, it definitely, you know, impacts any organization just like it impacts the school systems when you have, you know, less people available. But, you know, in the long run, what we're really concerned with is, you know, attracting new people to the profession and having, you know, people who want to become teachers, you know, but looking at it from, okay, I know I'm not going to get paid enough. I know I'm probably, in most cases, going to have a long commute because I can't afford to live where I teach. But now I've got to work, you know, I'm going to have student loans, but now it's going to take me even longer to pay off those student loans. I mean, how many people are going to choose that as their life? You've got all the pressures, all the demands, and then you have these humongous college loans hanging over your head. Whereas, okay, well, I can take the same skills. I might not be as happy, but I can go into private industry, make a lot more, and pay my loans off faster.
Does that reflect then in a decline in membership for NEA, VEA, things like that?
Oh,
because,
yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of times, well, if you're going to pay your loans back, you're going to do that and forget the
right.
whatever it is cost of membership.
Oh, absolutely. Sure. It's definitely going to have an effect on membership. I mean, same as teachers, you know, in Virginia being, you know, $7,000 behind the national average, not having any real raises, and even now when they're starting to get raises, they're so small. While their health care costs are increasing, they may be now trying to send their own children to college. It strains everybody's budget.
Talk to me about this interest rate hike. I mean, that's just another blow for teachers, you know, trying to pay their loans off.
It is. It's new teachers trying to pay their loans off. When you're looking at July 1st is going to turn around and some of your federal student loans are going to go from 3.4% interest to 6.8%. It's still not as bad as putting your college education on a credit card, but it's unfortunately getting closer to that. You know, when you can get some credit card rates at 9.9, you're not that far away, you know, from a credit card. And it's, you know, it's affecting people wanting to come into the profession, and it's definitely affecting those of us in the profession who need classes to get relicensed. We want to get another certification in another subject. We want to get our master's. We want to work on a doctorate. You know, you start looking at the price, you know, per credit at Virginia institutions and go, oh, gosh, can I afford to continue my own education while I teach? It's tough.
Well, speaking of teacher preparation, have you seen the I think it's called NCTQ, teacher preparation review that came out today?
I just got an email this morning with that press release in it. You know, among the findings, the highly rated programs were Virginia were elementary and secondary undergraduate programs at Longwood, the graduate programs in elementary and secondary at Radford, and VCU for graduate secondary level were some of the what they're talking about pulled out here in this press release is some of the highly rated programs in Virginia.
They have any on the other end?
No. They didn't go specifically that way to the negative end. You know, they talked about that only 9% of elementary and secondary programs in Virginia do anything to restrict admissions to the top half of the college-going population, which is supposedly, according to their data, compared to 28% nationwide. That was, for me personally, very disappointing.
Why?
Well, I want the best and the brightest to come in to our profession. We need the best and the brightest. You know, it's a cliche, but we are the... You know, without teachers, you don't have any other professions. But again, it draws us right back to, you know, to what we talked about earlier. If I am good and I am bright and I'm looking at all these college loans, which profession am I going to take my skills to? You know, the one that pays better, to pay off my college loans, to make sure I can, you know, I'm able to live in a safe neighborhood. I'm able to have a car. And I think that's definitely having a pass. So when you look at the selectivity in admissions, you wonder if the reason that the selectivity, you know, are they not putting requirements in to select, to tighten the selection to get into a college of education to get an education degree because those people aren't choosing that. They're choosing, you know, a more lucrative profession. I don't know.